Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, this is Ian and we're here on the VI Talk blog. Today we've got another human interest story, would you believe? And with me is Jennifer. Hi Jennifer.
Hello.
Can you first of all just introduce yourself, your name and where you're from?
Yeah, so my name is Jennifer Murray. I'm 26 years old and I'm actually from Glasgow.
And today we're going to talk about your journey into work, because it really is a very, very interesting reflection and experience. So what is your job, and what we'd like to find out is how did you get to really getting that job?
Yep, so my job is part of RNIB's trainee grade scheme, or TGS. So I'm a trainee assistive technology coordinator with Action for Blind People. And for quite a few months I was looking for work up and down the country, not just in Scotland, because a lot of the jobs that I was applying for were based in England, because I realised I had to broaden the options available and to try to take any opportunity that seemed suitable. Tried to take the opportunity and just see what stage that led to. And I heard about the TGS, I read all about it online, and I think any sort of opportunity within the TGS scheme that RNIB offer for people who are blind or partially sighted and who are unemployed is a fantastic initiative, because you're constantly learning on the job. And yeah, I went down for the interview and I heard about the job almost immediately.
So in terms of just you know that wow, it's a whole lot going on there. So in terms of sort of wanting to work to start with, when did your job search start?
Okay.
And did you have any idea when you started your job search what you'd like to do?
To be honest, the job search started in July, the middle of July, end of July. I was trying to find something suitable, something whereby there was support, whether it be within a charitable organisation or organisations specifically geared or towards people with visual impairment, because I think it's a good starting point. Then that way your skills and experience can certainly develop. So I was mainly focusing on various sight loss charities, and I do have a degree in languages though, so I would like to use my languages whenever possible, but I didn't want to do the teaching route because I don't really wouldn't see myself being a teacher, and also I believe that interpreting and translation is mainly freelanced, and I'm not, you know, I don't have a qualification in either of those fields.
So how did you find the actual job searching? What was the experience of doing that?
At times it was quite tough. You really have to sort of keep at it. And I know that sounds obvious, but it's true, you really do. Obviously sometimes application forms aren't always accessible and you try to request them, or you have to go into an organisation and they would have to handwrite it and then post it off.
Yeah.
That happened on one or two occasions. And yeah, a lot of it was electronic via email, which was, you know, which was better, and obviously online as well. So what I did notice though was that I did get to varying stages per application. Sometimes I was kind of rejected, or I went for interviews here, there and everywhere. And it did get quite a lot. I mean, it's a lot of travelling involved as well. But it's all experience, because you have to sort of take the feedback and say, okay, now I know what to do a bit better for the next time and what have you. And you get a mixture of good feedback, which is very, very constructive, and then you also get feedback which sounds negative, but you know you're going to get that anyway, but you will get the good points and the bad points. And also what I did do was I did a Google search way back at the beginning of trying to find organisations which specifically help anybody with a disability into work. Some of them were mainly based in Scotland. There were a couple of national ones. Some of them recommended me to go to other organisations whom I've already contacted. And not only that, I actually started to attend a course, pre-employment course, which RNIB Scotland were providing, as well as an employment hub. Mm-hmm. Now, the pre-employment course, this is my understanding, I didn't actually complete it because I got a job, sort of towards the beginning of it, but the pre-employment course was a 3 week, 3 days a week intensive course, whereby a group of visually impaired people would come together and we would discuss everything from CVs to application forms to interview techniques to potentially practicing on each other and helping each other. And I'm assuming that things were done on the computer as well, but I didn't do the whole course because I got the job, which I'm doing now. So yes.
So what are the times in that search? Because you are, by nature, sounds of it, a very positive, sort of forward-looking person, without trying to sound as patronising anyone, really. But were the frustrations?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
I will be honest, there was quite a few. Just like, at times it can get very demoralising, especially when you go for interview after interview after interview, and not just in Glasgow or Edinburgh and Falkirk or in other parts of Scotland. Sometimes the interview process wasn't always accessible. Sometimes you found that they'll say they'll have your interview at a particular time, but if you arrived there a wee bit earlier, one of my interviews was actually changed when I got there in person. It was going to be the actual interview first of all, which was supposed to be an hour. Then it was going to be the practical, lasting 45 minutes. Now, with additional time, obviously, you have to, if you feel comfortable doing so, explain what support you need and to help you do the interview, especially when it comes to like software. If you have to use a screen reader software like JAWS, make sure if you do read Braille, make sure that you do get your stuff in Braille or your suitable format, your preferred format, and obviously request additional time if you feel that you need to.
Sure.
But going back to the interview that was changed on the day, so it went to being, we'll do the practical first. So that was instead of doing the actual interview first, it was practical followed by the actual interview, which didn't even last half an hour. So it was a bit of a shock to the system. Yeah. I think I was having one of those off days because I spent from, you know, August, September, early October looking for work and travelling up and down the country. Sort of mid-August, I realised I'm going to have to broaden my search. I can't just focus in Scotland because there was nothing.
Mm.
You only got so far, or you didn't, or you were rejected at the first step.
Mm.
There were, and also not only that, there were. I used to live with my parents. I'm now living on my own, so this is a completely new experience.
Going from your search and the frustrations that you had, but also the good experience you had from it, not to forget. Now to the change and sort of from getting the job. I mean, it's a new job into a new office. I mean, it's, you know, but also you have the sort of whole moving from, you know, from home to a new flat. So how has that all gone?
It's taking its time. There's still things that need to be set up, but we're getting there. And the organisation that I'm working for are being incredibly supportive, very, very understanding, very, very approachable. And I know that goes without saying, but it really does help, especially when you're new to an area. I don't know where I stay at all. I've not been shown where things are yet, and hopefully that will come along. I am, you know, when I get support, which is just initially just been set up, literally, it's not that I'm asking the person to do things for me. It's I want them to enable me to equip me with the skills in order for me to be able to do that. but we'll do it step by step.
Yeah.
As I said, it's all very new. I only moved down within the space of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Moved down sort of middle of November and started my job the following week.
Wow.
So it's been all go, really. Yeah. It's been quite exhausting at times and just a bit overwhelming.
Mm.
Now, when I was kind of looking at jobs, my family would sort of argue, but you're going too far away, it's too far away from home. You're going too far away from home, and, you know, how are you going to manage this? How are you going to manage that? And at times it was really upsetting, because as if you were, obviously, didn't mean it in a good way, but sometimes it just got like, stop trying to fling all the negatives at me. Let me just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to get the job or not. I'm only going down for an interview.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I've got the job that I'm in now, and, you know, it's a learning curve, like, for everybody. I mean, I have lived away from home before, but never completely on my own, had my own flat.
Mm.
But I love having the space and knowing that you're just going back to your own space, and you can just kind of do things at your own pace without saying, oh, you're doing it wrong, or somebody else doing it for you, because sometimes you might get a sort of negative reaction if you struggle with certain tasks due to your sight loss, but it's not your fault. It's just you've either not been shown, or you know, you. I mean, had to put it this way: if I stayed at home, I wouldn't have. I don't think I would have moved on, so to speak. I wouldn't have. It would have took a lot longer to kind of build on the skills and develop and learn how to live independently. It would have took a lot longer, because if you're at home with mum and dad or your family, it's actually, you know, quite difficult to try and push yourself to develop those skills.
Yes.
And part of the job, like, moving away from home, I've said to myself, I really wanted to give it a shot. And you have to prove to yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to also prove to other people that it can be done, but you need to try and find solutions and ask for support wherever possible. But in case you want to try and get rid of the judgmental attitude and try to get out the frame of mind that people are going to judge you every step of the way, it is a hard thing to do, and I'm still trying to get away from that, but, you know,
you're getting there.
Finally,
I mean, it would be great, actually, sort of at some point along the way to see how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you're happy, we'll follow up on this at some point in the future. But what message would you say to people who are on, you know, journey and looking for work and experiencing frustration? And obviously, it can be a bit of a knockback to mm-hmm. people. But what would you say from your own experience? You know,
persevere.
Mm.
Really persevere, and there will be knockbacks. You will find that at stages the recruitment process can be very challenging. Sometimes things might not be accessible.
Mm.
Even if you're applying for the same job role, which was I actually was applying for the same job in various locations. Now people will question that and say, why are you doing that if you weren't successful in one location? Because you know what happened? I got interviewed in 2-3 separate locations for the same job.
Mm.
And okay, I got rejected for the exact same job and in other locations, but what I did notice throughout the interview process is that on the 3 separate occasions, the practical was slightly different, even though it was for the exact same job role. It was a national job role, so it's been advertised up and down the country. But one of the frustrations that I had was there was some inconsistency there in terms of you're applying for the exact same job but the practical test is different, or parts of it you don't know how to do because you've never been shown, or they're not accessible, unfortunately.
But just keep trying,
you know, don't give up. And I know it's really hard. Try to talk to people, just ask questions, see if you can get a course, a pre-employment course, talk to somebody individually, you know, have one-to-one sessions and just talk to them about it. Maybe they can help with your CV, develop your interview techniques, whatever. I didn't do any volunteering. I did look into it, but I was like, no, I want a job. I really want a job more than volunteering. And I did actually apply for a volunteer role, come to think of it. But at the informal interview, I clearly stated my main priority is a job, because there's no point in starting doing volunteering if you're solely focused on getting a job. There's no point in starting volunteering in order to 2 weeks later or a couple of days later, right, I've got a job, you know. I would say just keep persevering and try not to give up. It can be really demoralising at times. You just kind of want to shut yourself away at times, to be honest.
But thanks, Jennifer, for sharing your experience with us, and I'm sure you know, many will gain a great deal from that, because it's been one heck of a move, and it's still obviously still ongoing. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, we'd like to hear more at some point in the future. So thanks for that.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.